The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Kay Murray, Stevie Nicol, Alejandro Moreno here with me in the studio. This is all a bit new to me.
That's all right.
You here,
see, this is normal
time.
To us.
Yeah. We're back to normal.
And it could be back to normal at Barcelona. Sid Lowe is joining us because there are some big reports that Lionel Messi is pretty much in agreement with Barcelona to stay on there. It could be a five-year deal we're hearing. What do you know, Sid?
Well, what we know, to be honest, is what was broken by ESPN's very own Sam Marsden and Moira Lenz. The two of them broke the story this afternoon that the deal was now in place, that Barcelona were now satisfied that they and Messi are on this exactly the same page on this, and that this will now go ahead. Now, of course, what's happened over the last month or so is that there's been a very clear sense that Messi wants to continue and Barcelona wanting to do so, but a really huge difficulty in terms of making those figures work. Now, not so much making them work because of Messi or because of Barcelona, but making them work because of Barcelona's financial situation, making them fit with the salary caps imposed by La Liga. And we heard today Javier Tebas, the president of the league, saying, look, I won't look the other way. We have to have these rules, and so we won't bend them for Messi, even though we recognise, of course, that Messi is an enormous asset for the league. Now, what's happened today, according, again, as I say, to Sam and to Moy, is that there's a five-year deal in place for Messi, that he's taken a pay cut, which is well over 50%, that there will be a buyout clause in the region of, I think it was 350 million euros, although, in truth, of course, the buyout clause is largely irrelevant, and that the basis of the agreement is there. The truth, though, is that no one will be completely relaxed until this is actually signed, until it's signed and it's cleared with the footballing authorities, because it's worth insisting again and again and again on this point. The difficulty over the last 2, 3, 4 weeks hasn't been Messi and hasn't been Barcelona. It's about making the numbers fit, and it looks like they've now found a formula in which they can make that happen.
Well, let's get to those numbers in just a moment. But if this is to go through, Ali, and everything does get sorted, this is great news for Barcelona and La Liga, isn't it?
It's the only news that were acceptable for both Barcelona and La Liga. This is the one player that you can still just put out there in terms of your product on this stage and get the attention from the world. If you look around La Liga, the one name that stands out as the guy who really is the flag bearer for both Barcelona and La Liga is Lionel Messi. And so therefore, while I understand that Javier Tebas won't look the other way, he knew full well that in talking to Barcelona and saying, hey, you got to make the numbers work, he's also saying, guys, really, we have to make the numbers work for both of us. It's important for both of us, not just you, Barcelona, but for La Liga and the product that we're trying to sell around the world. So to me, there was never a doubt that somehow they were going to get to an end result and that the end result was going to be the one outcome that was a positive for Barcelona and La Liga, and that is for Lionel Messi to continue on.
And they say it's a five-year contract if this is to happen, Stevie. He's 34 now. That takes him up to 39. Does it matter because it's Lionel Messi?
I don't think it matters. It's probably, again, to do with what Sid's talking about with the money. But at the end of the day, you know that Messi wants to stay there. Because if he didn't, he could just have walked away. And so he is absolutely doing, number one, La Liga a huge favour, but he's doing a bigger favour to Barcelona, because without Messi, Barcelona isn't the same. It becomes a different, in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of the fans, it's a different team now without Messi. You know, the likes of Pedri must be delighted that Messi's going to stay, because he could be the next Messi. And he could be the next answer for Barcelona to bring money in and to be able to sign big name players as well if they can figure out the financial situation. So Messi staying is absolutely huge. And we're not even talking about what happens on the field yet.
Oh, well, if we do talk about what happens on the field, we only need to look to the Copa America and everything he did on course to get to the final with Argentina, LA.
He was outstanding. in Copa America. And most of all, there was a level of commitment and care and enjoyment from Lionel Messi of the moment and the magnitude of this competition and what it meant for him individually and for his country. We only have to see the celebrations of the teammates around him, but also the celebration of him and his family. We've seen that video where he's talking to his wife on FaceTime on the field and how important and significant it was to him. A happy Messi benefits Barcelona. A Messi who's not frustrated and thinking about the relationships or lack thereof with the decision makers in Barcelona is a player that will be able to perform at a high level for you. And what's most important for Barcelona is that this period of time, if indeed this agreement goes through, it allows you, if you organize your thoughts correctly, it allows you to start preparing for the post-Messi era. That is coming. It's coming at some point. So now you can organize your plan and put together something that makes sense. He's allowed you to have this period of time where now, maybe, just maybe, you start planning because Messi's going to walk away at some point. And this period of time will be critical for Barcelona on the field with Messi, but also for Barcelona off the field without Messi.
Something that has come to light in talking about getting Lionel Messi back to Barcelona is, as we know, there are players that will have to go out of Barcelona. And talk is that Antoine Griezmann could be returning to Atleti in a swap deal for Saul. How would that work, Sid?
Well, how it would work, to be perfectly honest, is cast your mind back to last year and the deal between Juventus and Barcelona to swap Arthur and Pjanic. Admittedly, both of them were theoretically transfers in their own right, but it was entirely down to moving money around, to moving the accountancy figures around, to try to see them through certain barriers in terms of financial fair play and the salary cap. What Barcelona are now in is a situation in which, and you know, this goes back to Messi, as you rightly say, the deal with Messi is done, the agreement with Messi is in place, but Barcelona still need to shed huge amounts of salary, absolutely enormous amounts. We're talking about salary cap that went from 671 million down to 340 million, that isn't yet set in stone, but is likely to be under 200 million euros this year. Javier Tebas the other day said that Barcelona's salaries alone account for 110% of their income. That is unsustainable. That cannot happen. So Barcelona desperately need to get wages off the books. So this is a situation in which they try and look for a solution. And that looking for a solution doesn't necessarily just mean selling players like Griezmann, like Dembélé, like various others. It means getting their salary off the book. That's almost as important as the transfer fee. And so what do you do? You look for a solution where you look for a club that suits Griezmann. You look for a club that can offer you something in return, even if it's not money. In this case, it's a player. But a player who would come to you earning less than Griezmann was earning. And that is the key to this. The key to this whole thing isn't really about money in pure kind of terms of putting it together and adding it up. And well, if we get 100 million for this, then that saves 100 million off the offer. And then if we can raise 50 million on this player or 20 million on the other player, it's much more focused on the salaries. Admittedly, of course, any money that came in from transfers would help as well. But this is about trying to get rid of one of their biggest wage earners. And it's a real pity, I think, but it's also a solution that would be good for just about everybody involved.
And do you think that would be a good solution for Griezmann to be going back to Atleti where he was the superstar?
Why? Why is it going to be good for Griezmann? The reason he left Atleti was because he wanted a brighter light. So was he just all of a sudden going to turn around and say, you know what, didn't it work? I'm OK with that. I'll just go back there and go with the old family. I don't think this is something that Griezmann wants in his legacy, shall we say, because that's what's going to happen. People are just going to say, well, he just took the easy way out. He wanted to be this superstar. Now he's taking the easy way out and just going to go back home and go with the old family.
Overall, it just didn't ever seem to be the right fit for Griezmann at Barcelona, did it?
Well, no, because at the very core of all of this, Antoine Griezmann wanted a free role. There's only one player in Barcelona, and now, until he turns 39 years old, for 5 more years, who will have a free role, and that's Lionel Messi. And so, yeah, as long as Messi is there, Griezmann was not going to have that sort of role. He was going to have something more specific, more of a guy who would have to defend a lot, who would have to sacrifice himself. That doesn't quite match the expectations of a player who came at a price tag that would demand him scoring big goals in big moments with consistency, which we never really saw from Antoine Griezmann. Now, here's the other thing I would say about Antoine Griezmann. I have to imagine that part of the reason that Antoine Griezmann leaves Atletico Madrid, because your shelf life of what you can put up from Diego Simeone reaches a certain level for an attacking player, a guy who's creative, a guy who likes to get on the ball. You turn that page thinking, hey, now I'm going to have the ball. Now we're going to create chances. Now we're going to score goals. And now you have to take a step back to this running around and fighting and pushing and shoving, and this is how we're going to win. And you're going back to a team that just won La Liga, that have proven that that way of playing actually suits them very well. I don't know how this matches the needs and wants of Antoine Griezmann. And yet his needs and wants also don't match up with Barcelona. So Antoine Griezmann, good luck.
And unless you're an Atletico Madrid fan, everybody else sees this title. Because you could argue that, well, he's going to a place where you might win a title. Mm. The truth is, unless you're an Atletico Madrid fan, this was all about how bad Real Madrid. This is about how bad Barcelona were. You know, it's almost like they haven't really got credit. And the truth is, they weren't particularly great to watch all season, but they ended up winning the league. Is that really what Griezmann wants to do? Go back to a side that basically doesn't get anywhere close to the respect that a Barcelona or Real Madrid get.
Well, going back to the whole Messi part of it, Sid, is there any talk on what the timeline would be and when they would be able to sign him? And do you feel, is your gut feeling that perhaps this will just all work out in the end?
Well, I suppose it depends how you define all works out. I think it will work out in terms of they will find a way to keep Messi. Whether that really counts as working out, let's see. Because let's see what they have to get rid of to make Messi possible. Let's see how many players have to depart for that to work and whether that damages the team. Because it's one thing to keep Messi in. And you know, I think Steve was absolutely right earlier to introduce the element that Messi is still the best player in La Liga. To introduce that into the conversation, you know, we were talking about Messi as an icon and as a symbol and all the rest of it. He is still the best footballer in Spain and by far and away the best footballer at Barcelona. But, of course, if that comes at the cost of really significant departures, then you do have to ask questions about whether this works out for the team. As for a timeline, Kay, it's very difficult to judge this, not least, of course, because all the way through this process, and this isn't just guesswork, all the way through this process, based on things that have been said from within the club, based on ideas about how those inside believe negotiations were going, how close they thought they were to a deal, we kept getting different dates. This would happen. Remember, we were all convinced this was going to happen on Messi's birthday, that it was going to be kind of set up as to be a symbolic announcement on Messi's birthday, which came and went. We were convinced that it had to be announced before the end of his contract, which came and went. Bear in mind, let's not forget this, Messi is currently a free agent. Messi currently doesn't have a club. You know, he's pretty much the best unemployed footballer in the world. In fact, he's the best footballer in the world, but that's another issue. And so I think, you know, the hope is that this gets done before the end of the month, that certainly it gets done before Messi has to come back for pre-season training. But, of course, and forgive me for being cynical about this or being, if you like, pessimistic about this, until we see it, there will always be concerns that it might not end up happening.
Oh, well, we will sit and wait and no doubt continue to talk about it here on ESPN FC. But be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more bonus content. Every day there is something new, and subscribing ensures that you will not miss any of it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There's been some leaked audio of Real Madrid president Florentino Perez criticising club legends, among them Cristiano Ronaldo. Perez said he's mad. The chap is an imbecile. He's ill. Do you think this chap is normal? He's not normal. Otherwise, he wouldn't do the things he does. The last foolish thing he did, everyone around the world saw it. Why do you think he does that foolish thing? Now, that was in 2012. We won't speculate as to what the foolish thing
was.
But it was foolish in Florentino Perez's eyes. And maybe it's been foolish for him to talk the way he has been, Sid, because this has been leaked. It's very interesting, though, that it's this and more of him criticising club legends like Raul, Iker Casillas as well. Jose Mourinho's name's come into it. What's been the reaction there in Spain? And why has this come out now?
Those are quite difficult questions, particularly the question of as to why this has come out now. I think why it's come out now is because Abiyan, who was a radio broadcaster who's been who'd recorded this, had been, I think, looking for a place to place this for quite a while. Quite why it's taken this long, quite why it's happened now, I think is difficult to really put your finger on. I must confess, I think the reaction from most people to begin with was that this was, and I shouldn't really say this, but I think most people felt this was actually really quite funny, some of these things, or really quite unpleasant. There was a sense that it was potentially damaging, but I think a lot of people have come to Florentino's side, which is not entirely surprising, and said that they think it's wrong that a private conversation has been published like this. I think for a lot of people in the media, and I include myself in this, what this really did was basically publicly confirm something that people knew. That people knew that Florentino Perez, despite that very cold, very serious kind of exterior, that facade, was very, very critical of people at the club for a very long time and has been. In fact, remember, of course, the circumstances of Zidane's recent departure, in which he wrote a letter in which he said very publicly that he felt he didn't have the support of the club and that things were said about him behind his back. This, I think, what it shows you, of course, is that is something that is ongoing, something that has happened very often. Now, obviously, there are all sorts of questions about the morality of publishing these conversations, but I think it's quite damaging in terms of the things that Florentino Perez said, even though the recordings are so old. And bear in mind as well that the first big hit of these recordings was about Raul, and that particular recording is really significant because Raul is currently the B team coach. So that really damages him. The other player that was really criticised in that first recording released was Iker Casillas, who currently works for the club's charitable foundation. So you've got two people who work for the club, who are still with Florentino Perez, listening to and hearing very publicly these kind of attacks made upon them.
Yeah, and the attacks on those two players were said that they were the biggest frauds at the club, mm-hmm. and that Casillas wasn't good enough to be the goalkeeper. What does this do to players looking at maybe wanting a move to Real Madrid? Would it put them off?
I think it's far enough back where you don't actually make the connection. Plus, there is a certain arrogance to players at a high level that would say, well, that's nothing to do with me. If you come in after me with this sort of talent, those conversations are not going to take place with me. And that's the biggest mistake that you can make. Because if he's saying this about Ronaldo, Raul, and Casillas, it doesn't matter who you are. You step into that locker room and you don't do your job, this guy's going to talk about you. And we've known this. This is only confirmation, as Sid just mentioned. We've known this. If you watch Galacticos, the documentary, these things are prevalent with Florentino Perez in that he starts going after some of the big names in the locker room because those are the people that threaten his power and his authority. And this is typical stuff. You don't go after the guy who's fourth of the bench. No. You start going after the big guys, the big names. Those are the guys that can threaten you in the future. And so therefore, you establish that sense of power. Look, I'm the boss. I make the decisions. These guys are merely my employees. And to your initial question, if guys do their homework, yeah, they should be concerned about the fact that their boss, essentially, is saying things about other players that are just as good or better than you are historically in the game.
Because the word is Kylian Mbappe is desperate to go to Real Madrid, but also he idolises Cristiano Ronaldo, as we've seen with those pictures of him in his bedroom with Cristiano Ronaldo on the wall. Do you think that could cause problems for a move like that?
No, not at all. Kylian Mbappe doesn't care what Perez thinks. He just wants to be with Benzema. He wants to go in the footsteps, try and put the shoes on of Ronaldo. You know, do you think he's the first and last chairman that's ever slaughtered all the players behind closed doors? I mean, and again, you know, Sid's saying that, that Rallo and Casillas are still there, this will be dealt with very easily. They'll go and chap on his door and say, what's this? And he'll say, you know what? Obviously, I said that. I was fed up at the time. We weren't doing well. Things were going bad. You know, I was venting. Don't worry about it. And they're just going to go, that's fine.
Yeah.
So as far as those two are concerned, they will not be bothered one iota, as Mbappe won't be either.
Well, and here's the thing. Florentino Perez, as you say, will bring this guy into the office. Hey, look, you know, this sort of thing happened. Hey, because if one thing that you can say about Florentino Perez, he's not dumb, right? This is an intelligent man. This is a very smart man. How he goes about his business is a little different. And how he goes about talking about his most important assets, that's a little different. But it doesn't mean that he cannot have a good conversation with these guys and make them feel like the most important part of the club. Look, you guys are part of the history of this organization, of this club, and you're going to be part of it.
It's an easy sale.
Oh, well, look, I mean, look at the great work you're doing right now. We're leaning on you to build on the future of this club.
He did say they've been taken out of context. I'm not sure how those leaks... I'm not sure how they'll be taken out of context, but what do you think there will be any consequences to this, Sid?
Well, I think there's another really simple part to add to what Ali and Steve are saying, which is that I don't even think that Florentino Perez necessarily needs to say to him, listen, it's OK, you're part of the history of the club, it's fine, I was annoyed. He doesn't need to say that for one very simple reason. He didn't like them then when he said that. He may still not like them. They didn't like him when he said that. They may still not like him. They knew that he said these kind of things. You know, let's go back to what Zidane said in this letter. People are aware of this. People are aware, and this is one of the things that annoys them. But even if it does annoy them, and I have no doubt that it does, they could walk away now. But why don't they? Well, because Florentino Perez holds the key to the Bernabeu. If you want to be at Real Madrid, this is what you do. You know, this is your boss. So when your boss slags you off, you swallow it and you carry on, unless there's an alternative, unless there's a better place to go. And of course, from the point of view of these two people, there is no better place to be than the Santiago Bernabeu. And I must confess, over the last couple of days, there's been a few times when I've thought to myself, where's your self-esteem? Where's your sense of your own importance? Why aren't you marching into that office and saying, right, I've had enough of this, I'm going? The answer, I think, is very simple. You want to stay at Real Madrid? There you go.
Yeah, keep your friends close and the Real Madrid president even closer. Anyway, for more from these three, they will all be on Extra Time, and you can catch Extra Time daily on the ESPN FC page on YouTube. And if you'd like to see more of the Galactico era at Real Madrid, which happened under Florentino Perez, you can stream it now on ESPN Plus. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Here's one for the football romantics. Olé newspaper suggesting a match between Argentina and Italy, the new European and South American champions. The game to be played in Naples, they say, in honour of Diego Maradona. Very nice idea. Sid Lowe, can you see this happening?
I hope so. I honestly don't know if it can happen. I think there's a very significant difficulty with the calendar, with the fixture list at the moment, where on earth you find the time and to make this actually happen. But it would be a lot of fun, wouldn't it? It would be a lot of fun. I mean, look, this in a way, I suppose, is a very small version of the Confederations Cup from a kind of a club point of view. The World Club World Cup. But it would be lovely. It would be very nice indeed.
It would be nice, wouldn't it, Steve? Would you like to see that, Italy against Argentina?
I'd love to play in it.
Who would you play for?
Argentina. Whoa. Well, who doesn't want to play with Messi? Let's be honest. That's the That's the divider between the two sides. Not be fantastic. But Sid's right. I mean, how are they going to fit it in? And the truth is, it wouldn't be competitive. It would be a friendly. Mm. Some people like that. I don't particularly like them. If it was a fully blown, there was something at stake, it would be fantastic. But for fun, yes, nothing else.
Even so, who do you think would win?
Well, I'm going to go with Argentina. And the reason I say that is because in what would be a friendly and that perhaps would lack intensity, Argentina doesn't know how to play without that edge and intensity. And so therefore, while it may be a celebration for Italy, for Argentina, if it indeed is called Supercopa Maradona, Maradona is from Argentina, and they will take pride in that and making sure that they indeed honour Diego Maradona the way that he deserves.
But then if they came at it, like, all competitive, wouldn't it make Italy competitive too? And if that were to happen, who would win?
It would depend. It would depend how long it took for either the first goal or the first challenge. Because like everyone else, once that first one comes along, then it all kicks off. Personally, right now, I would suggest Italy would win. I think Italy's got the better side right now.
You make sure you never miss a show of ESPN FC here on ESPN Plus. But if you do, what you can do is download us on the podcast. It's available daily wherever you get your podcasts. Rafa Benitez held his first press conference as Everton manager today, and during it, he was asked about his comments back in 2007 when he called Everton a small club. Oh. Here's what he said.
I said before that it depends on the context. It's a long time ago. You are fighting for your club, and then it's what I will do now. So if you are the manager, you have to defend your club in any context. In this case, I will fight for Everton. I will try to do my best every single game, and I will try to compete against anyone. So I'm really pleased that this club is getting bigger and bigger, and I'm happy with the idea that we can challenge and we can compete, and I will fight for that.
Did he really say that?
Yep.
I mean, you talk about a slip of the tongue. This club is getting bigger and bigger. So he actually meant what he said when he said they were a small club.
Yep.
I mean, I can't believe he said that.
All right, so you can't believe he said
even
that.
Even if he didn't say that,
right?
Even if he didn't say that, I can guarantee you what's going to happen.
Okay.
If they start the season or are having good spells, it'll be acceptable. But if they start badly and are losing, he is going to get absolutely hammered. He's never going to at any stage be in this sort of position where he was at Liverpool, where the fans loved him and still speak highly of him. He's never going to reach there, ever, with Everton. It's going to be acceptable because we're winning, or it's going to be him getting slaughtered by the fans every time they get beat.
How are the Liverpool fans going to receive him when he faces them for the first time?
The ones that love them will still love him. He'll get a huge welcome, like everybody who goes back to Anfield that spent any time there does. Nothing will change. Absolutely nothing will change about his time at Liverpool with fans of Liverpool. Unfortunately, his own fans, I don't think, are going to be quite as understanding.
Because there have been clubs that haven't accepted him, Real Madrid, Chelsea. But why shouldn't he take this role, Ale?
In his position, I see no problem whatsoever. And I had no problem with his press conference up until the last 10 seconds in which he doubles down on whatever he said in 2007. And he goes, this club is getting bigger and bigger. And that is the part that everybody's going to focus on. And that is the part that everybody's going to hang on to. We're hanging on to it, and we have nothing to do with Everton. Imagine Everton fans. And so, therefore, Stevie is absolutely correct. If this starts the wrong way, then all the pressure is going to mount simply because you brought that upon yourself. And whether Everton is a big club, bigger club, small club, whatever, he just needed to stay away from that. He did not need to address that at all. And he was doing such a good job in saying, hey, look, that was the context then. I was fighting for my club. This is the same thing I'm going to do here. Everton, I promise you this. I will give you that sort of effort and that sort of attitude because this is the club that now I have to defend, and we're going to be better, and we're going to compete against Liverpool, and we're going to win games and so on and so forth. And leave it at that. don't talk about being a bigger club, because then, oh, whatever you just said, all of that, it becomes irrelevant. Everybody's going to focus on him talking about Everton getting bigger and bigger.
In fairness, I do think that comment came after a draw between the two in 2007.
It makes no difference now.
No, it doesn't, but I'm sure he will be reminded of it, and we'll see how he does next season. Rafa Benitez with Everton. Don't forget, ESPN FC is available daily on ESPN Plus. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
After Marcus Rashford's mural in Manchester was defaced with racist graffiti, fans came out in force with messages of love, which covered up the graffiti. Rashford himself said that the community supported led him to the verge of tears. It's also since been repaired, and the messages surrounding his faith remain. We now welcome in Alexis Nunes. Great to see you, Alexis. It has to be said that the outpouring of support for Marcus Rashford has been wonderful.
Yeah, Kay, absolutely. I mean, and I've spoken to some of those close to Marcus, including his brother, and they have pretty much just said how really taken aback by this he is, obviously, because, you know, after what they suffered on Sunday with the loss, but really the racist abuse, I think, that came after was shocking to everyone. I think with the events that happened over the last year and a half, with what happened in the USA with the death of George Floyd, and of course the world coming together after, I think there was some sort of an element of people over here kind of comfortably watching from afar and saying that, yes, racism is a problem in our societies and even in our sport. But at the moment, it seemed like it was just a major problem in the United States. But because of what England did in this Euros, making history so many times and, of course, getting to the final, I think a lot of people who normally don't pay attention to football started tuning in. And they themselves, I mean, my neighbors have been messaging me as well, and they're not really football fans. And they were shocked and were asking if this is something that footballers experience on a daily basis or on a weekly basis. And I actually told them, yes, this is something that they have been experiencing, sadly, in the last Premier League season, much more than they have before. This is something that is currently being dealt with. And I think the outpouring after, you saw over 700 people turned up to the mural just today, a couple of hours ago, for a peaceful protest. They took the knee, they left more posters and messages and flags to Marcus, to the point that now they're talking about preserving some of these post-it notes and paper messages, because you do know that it does like to rain, especially in Manchester. So some of them were getting washed away, but now there's talk about preserving them because it really has spoken volume. And I know a lot of bad has come since England lost in that final of the Euro 2020. But now we see that a lot of good of it has come from it as well.
Yeah, it's been so encouraging to see. But you talk about the bad that's coming from the final. And in the aftermath of those ugly scenes that we did see at Wembley, it seems that it was a lot worse than we actually did know, as more and more stories are coming to light of what actually happened there. What's the reaction been back home?
The reaction as well has been absolutely shocking too. Again, like I said, so many people who don't even pay attention to football were just completely taken aback. The government, pretty much, they had parliament today and it was dominating their headlines. And I mean, just those images there that you see on the screen, that's actually near where Club Wembley is, and that was the VIP entrance. You know, I have a friend who's a World Cup winner for cricket for England, and he was right there when they were breaking in. And I was absolutely shocked because not saying that VIPs, you know, are immune to getting run over by these stampedes sometimes, but you'd expect that they would get top security. But it just goes to show you that the stewards were just not equipped to deal with what happened on Sunday at all. You heard the story that broke this morning of Harry Maguire saying that his father has suffered suspected broken ribs from being involved and around with that mob that really run in, because that's really what it was. And I think a lot of it's really held up a mirror, I think, to a lot of fans and supporters and just the public here in England, and wondering why it is that the England national team sometimes invites this kind of destruction when it goes to the games from the quote unquote supporters. Because you should have seen as well what happened. That was just at Wembley. What happened at Leicester Square and Trafalgar Square? People were jumping on cars and the buses. They were really just throwing bottles through windows. It was really terrifying, you know. And even other people were likening it probably to, could this get to the level of what happened at Hillsborough? Because they were just running through people and pushing people out of their seats as well, once those that actually got into Wembley. And the number one question that's being asked now is that, is England ever in a position to host international tournaments again, including any World Cups in the future? And a lot of English people have actually come out and said, I don't think we deserve to host anything if this is exactly the kind of stuff that supporting the national team invites. And of course, there's still a long process before that, but that is a question that's being asked by England fans and English people themselves. And if they're asking it, you can only imagine what the rest of the world is thinking after seeing those scenes on Sunday.
Yeah, such a negative image. It's obviously not going to help any type of bid going forward. Alexis, it's always great to hear from you. We'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks, Kay.
Anyway, that's all we've got time for on the latest.
You're laughing because you're English and I'm Scottish.
Might be. No, it's all right. It's only if you're Italian and my husband at the moment.
I thought the Euros was over and I'm still
getting it. Anyway, join us on Extra Time. Sid will be with us too. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. We've got Sid Lowe, Alejandro Moreno and Stevie Nichol also with us. And we've got your questions too, so let's get to them, shall we? First in, Commissi Commissar says, is Messi finally a proven leader by reducing his salary like other great leaders who have done the same for their teams, like Tom Brady? What do you reckon, Stevie?
100%. I guess it's a little easier when you've probably got 300 million in the bank already. That takes the sting out of it, shall we say. But yeah, absolutely. It shows his commitment to Barcelona. And so, yes, it's nice to see.
Are these the things that make you a proven leader?
Well, it's certainly when you walk through that locker room and say, hey, let me tell you something. I left 50% of my salary on the table for you guys. So, yeah, I think direct or indirectly, those guys know that he has taken the full-on hometown discount.
All right, next up for you, Sid. Mohamed Shaquille says, Sid, if Ferran leaves, will Real Madrid sign a centre-back or Nacho Militao will play alongside Alaba?
Nacho, Militao, Alaba, the return of Vallejo from his loan period at Granada. I think Real Madrid would look for a signing, but I think they would only do so if they can find what they would consider to be very good value in the market. Because, you know, there's been a huge amount of talk about Barcelona's financial difficulties. Real Madrid have managed the pandemic far better. They've actually made a profit last year, albeit a very small profit, less than €1 million. But they know that what they have in terms of the ability to go and spend is very, very limited indeed. They lost around about €300 million off their budget last year. They have, I think it's €144 million effectively in the bank. But this isn't a club that's just going to go out and spend. And actually, if you look back over the last couple of years, that's been the case for a while now. So I think the answer is that if the Varan goes, they would only replace him if the alternative is relatively cheap.
Oh, it's going to be an interesting situation, the back line at Real Madrid.
That back line, hey, if that's Vallejo, Alaba, Nacho, Militao,
he says, speaking of ooh, Ezio says, Kay, what was the atmosphere in your home for the finals?
Ooh. Mm.
Just to let you know, I have an Italian husband and obviously I'm English. Uh-huh. So we went to the pub, we got a babysitter. I took him to an all-English pub pretty much, and that was okay.
Did he have a choice in that?
He didn't have a choice. All and right. Then we went to extra time, so we extended the babysitter, and then we had to get back. So we sat on our driveway while the penalty shootout happened.
Listening on the radio?
No.
Listening, watching on our phones.
No.
And that close to one another. And do you know what it really annoyed me the most? He did the Ronaldo when they won.
Why?
What did he do?
Divorce. Divorce now.
To be honest, I've not spoken to him since then.
Yeah, well, good decision.
And I think it is a good decision. I'm much happier, to be honest, now.
Actually, you should ask yourself, why did you speak to him in the first place, okay?
It was the perfect excuse to not speak to him anymore.
What was that noise you made?
The Cristiano Ronaldo. Yeah.
Oh, does he say that when he gives it all that? I didn't even know that.
That's what he says.
I had no idea.
I tell you one more thing, though. I always remember Sid Lowe, who came to our wedding, said that you could tell which side were the Italians and which side were the English. And I think he was being rude to us, saying that they were all a lot more stylish than we were.
Yeah.
I love that you're not going there.
I'm not going there.
I didn't see that Ali isn't either, so let's move on then, shall we?
All right. Why is he saying Sue if Ronaldo's Portuguese? So what is the connection
that,
with Italy?
From somewhere, he just found that the way to celebrate.
Now, could you not have extended the babysitter for another 30 minutes?
Maybe.
And that way, he would not have done any Sue in an English pub.
You're correct.
I'm just saying, you keep him in a hostile environment.
Yeah.
That way you control him.
Yeah, that way he just sits quietly snickering to himself.
Well, I'll be sitting quietly because he's going to get the silent treatment for a bit longer. All right, Citroen 1 says, Sid, how much blowback will Perez get if he lets both Varane and Ramos go in one summer, especially since he chose not to re-sign Ramos for 1 year?
Yeah, I think there will be criticism. I think the kind of the really powerful criticism won't come until they start playing and if things go wrong. I think people will wait and see a little bit on Alaba. But also there's a reality, and I think most people recognise that. And that reality, is, of course, is that Varane's allowed his contract to go into the final year, partly because he wants to walk away. And so Real Madrid are now not in a position to kind of throw money at him. So I think if he was to go, I think most people would recognise that it was a reaction to a kind of contractual situation that they couldn't avoid, and so you're better off selling him now and getting some money for him than him walking away for free in a year's time. But there's no doubt at all that if the results went against them, yes, of course there would be criticism.
Oh, more criticism for Perez. Just when he needs it right now. Ezio's back in, Ale, and says, last four World Cup winners were European teams. Did this Copa America give you any hope that the next one can be reclaimed by South America?
When you look at potential contenders from South America, it's very simple. It's Argentina and Brazil. Those two made it to the final, and both show that there is promise for the future, but there are also flaws that they have to address if indeed they are going to be serious contenders in the World Cup. If they go on a run, Brazil can win it. If they go on a run, Argentina can win it. Did it give me any more hope? Not more than what I had going into the tournament.
So no Zeus.
No, and I would never say
that. That is annoying, isn't it?
You know what? That I think I'm being unfair to him, and I think I'm like remembering it badly because it was a bad moment. I think it might have just been a say.
Okay.
You know, which is still just as bad. Yeah,
I don't think you should be giving him an excuse now. Don't give him an out. He's in trouble. Now take advantage of him. Now he knows that he's going to have to come crawling back with, you know, kind of like, hey, babe, I'm sorry.
I didn't mean it.
Use it to your advantage.
Yes.
You can extend this.
Definitely.
You know, you know how you didn't extend the babysitter? You can extend this for a week. You can really pull at that string and let him just suffer and drown. That's what I'm going to
say. That's what he gets for Italy winning. All right, Sid, Safi Sumbal says, do you think Jorginho has a chance of winning the Ballon d'Or? He's already won the Champions League and UEFA Euros. If he wins the Super Cup next month, he'll have three trophies this year. He was Chelsea's top scorer and a key player for Italy in the European Championships. I'm glad this has been put to you, Sid, and not to Craig Burley.
What?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a pretty good candidacy. And when we look at what players have done over a season, it's a very strong candidacy to be able to say that you're a double European champion, that you're a vital part of both of those teams. I wonder if maybe in terms of the way that some of the voters vote, because we should never forget something. the Ballon d'Or is voted for. So when people ask for my opinion or someone else's opinion, what matters is the culmination of opinions, and lots of people vote for all sorts of different reasons, and sometimes their votes are stupid. There's no two ways about that. So you know, we're discussing how this could go. I wonder if him having missed the penalty in the shootout in the final would lose him some votes. I must admit, I had this conversation with Cesar Azpilicueta before the semi-final, and I said to him, how about it then, Cesar Azpilicueta, Ballon d'Or winner? And he just laughed at me and said, don't be so stupid. And I said, well, look, in all seriousness, you've got a hell of a candidacy if Spain go on and win this. And of course, he was the one that pointed out that, well, actually, you know, the other candidate, how about Jorginho, who's in exactly the same position? So I suppose in that sense, he's a candidate. But I must admit, this year, I don't see how anyone other than Leo Messi wins it. And that's, by the way, despite the fact that Barcelona had a poor season in La Liga and a poor season in Champions League. But Messi finally winning that Copa America, and just the level of his performances, as has been the case for 15 years, I think he's the favourite. And I find it difficult to imagine anyone else winning it.
Jorginho? Come on.
Lewandowski?
Yep.
Over Messi?
I mean...
Over Jorginho? I'll tell you that.
I mean... So this is voted on over a 12-month period that kind of entails two seasons, that.
Is that the two seasons?
That's the two seasons, right? I'm balancing both seasons. That's what I'm doing, balancing them up.
What Steve's doing there, by the way, I think there is a point here, by the way, which is it's not just balancing over two seasons, Steve. And I think you know, normally I would throw that argument out, but I think this time there might be something in it, because of course last season was a season when Lewandowski 100% should have won the Ballon d'Or, and they decided not to do it. So I wonder if there will be some voters that will be thinking that, yeah. That they will be thinking, this isn't just an award for this season. It's also an award for that guy who really should have won it last year and we took it off him. And so I think there will be quite a lot of carryover voters for Lewandowski.
Well, whatever happened, by the way, the conversation about N'Golo Kante at one point, and now we're saying Jorginho, the guy who plays alongside him in Chelsea, is more deserving than N'Golo Kante.
Well, no, the guy asking the question is...
Well, because Italy won the Euros.
I think it also points to those who say, well, if you've won this and you've won this, to the people who say it's what you've won, why shouldn't it be that person?
So here's the question, right? In my opinion, it should be Lewandowski, unless somebody can tell me that had Messi played with Poland, they would have won the Euros.
Wow, that's quite a connection.
I'm not sure if we're going to be able to find the person to tell
you that. If we turn around and say, well, by the way, Poland would have won the Euros if Messi had played for them, then you'd have to give it to Messi, right?
What is the connection between Messi and Warsaw?
Oh, because Messi's playing with Argentina, who, as you said, there's only two teams. You said earlier, there's only two teams you think can win the World Cup over a European team, and that's Argentina and Brazil.
Yeah.
Whereas Poland ain't ever winning anything, right?
I think Messi was feeling like that for a good few years with Argentina.
So for Lewandowski to be hampered because he's Polish, I mean, not in the nicest possible way, by the way.
Because of the national team that's around him. So if you turn around and
honestly say to me, if Messi had been Polish, he would have taken Poland to a European Championships, then I would say Messi.
But he wouldn't, so it's still
Lewandowski.
All right, so what if they just give two out, one for each year?
Okay, that's not going to work.
It's not going to work?
No.
Messi, then?
I would say Lewandowski. That's the direction I would go.
What part of anything he said suggested Messi?
I was just trying to get him to say Messi.
I'm going to say Lewandowski.
So you're saying Messi?
I think it'd probably be Messi. Because everybody wanted it to be Robert Lewandowski so much last year.
Which is actually, if indeed they're voting based upon what they did last year, then it's all gone.
All right.
I'm just saying. I'm going to say Lewandowski just because I think he deserves it.
Well, we'll definitely find out who it will be. Anyway, lastly, Kartik says, would the guys have loved to be managed by an agent like Mino Raiola?
Yeah, because we wouldn't be sitting here. Yeah.
See, here's the thing, right? Does Raiola get players 30 and 40 million more than other agents? Is that why he's so good?
Well, he gets them the moves, so he gets a lot of money in. Maybe he's getting them the moves that they wouldn't get, which in turn will get them the money.
Right.
So would you like to have been managed by him?
Well, if he gets you more dough, then yeah.
But then you'd have to move the clubs. Like, you'd have to move clubs more and more.
That's quite all right.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. You don't have to move
clubs.
Well,
you don't have to, but we do often see that with many of his clients.
Yeah, but that's the client's fault, letting them bully him.
Oh.
So he was your agent. Oh, by the way, Kate, I could do with another 20 million. So what I'm going to do is get you a move to so-and-so. And you're going to go, oh, yeah, that's fine, on you go.
Well, no, because then I don't get to work with you and Ali anymore and Sid.
I can understand that.
So in that sense, I would take the pay cut.
I wouldn't recommend that, Kate.
like a true good leader. Anyway, that's all we've got time for on the latest edition of Extra Time. So join us tomorrow.
Stop doing that.
ESPN FC is available daily.
Make them beg.
On ESPN+.
Make them feel the pain, Kate.